But anyway, we're in Joshua chapter 10. And as we look back on the first nine chapters, the thing about Joshua, the book of Joshua, and it's all the books of the Bible, really, but God wants to teach us through every one of these books. And in Joshua, he teaches us some lessons that are important, and they're clear teachings. I mean, we saw in chapter 1 that God is looking for faithful people to make leaders. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it was Joshua was chosen because he was a minister to Moses. And because of his willingness to serve God, God chose him to be the next leader. And we also learn in Joshua chapter 1, I think it was three verses at least, maybe four, where God made promises to Joshua and the children of Israel. God makes promises to us. And those aren't just words that fall on deaf ears. When God makes a promise, it's going to stick. And he's not going to change it. That's right. Okay, thank you, John. But also we found out that God honors faithfulness, or the faithful. And Rahab, when she helped, she was promised early on that if she would help, she would be saved. And she was in the Battle of Jericho. And then we also found out that you need to be right with God before you proceed. Joshua chapter 3, I think, Joshua told the people to sanctify themselves. In Joshua chapter 5, I don't know if God revealed it to Joshua or he remembered, but the children of Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and most of those children were not circumcised. And that was a covenant for the Israelites. So he said, hey, we're going to do this now. And so in Joshua chapter 5, they circumcised all the males. And so they wanted to make sure they were right before they proceeded. We also learned about what happens when we don't trust God or when we disobey God. Achan demonstrated that. And Joshua did too. You say, well, how did Joshua demonstrate that? Well, in the sense that at the Battle of Ai the first time, if you read that out in chapter 7, Joshua didn't seek God's face before he sent those men to go to battle. And of course, 36 died. The reason they died was because there was sin in the camp. If Joshua would have sought God, I'm sure God would have revealed that to him, and he could have took care of that before proceeding, but he didn't. And because of sin, which is disobedience, God didn't bless them. It can happen in our lives as well. Only in our lives, that not being blessed might be the chastening hand of God, which is a blessing to know that you have the chastening hand of God in your life, because that means you're a child of God. But then we see also that when you get right with God, the lines of communication are open again. In the next chapter, we see he goes to fight the battle of Ai. He sought the Lord. The Lord told him exactly how to do it. After they took care of Achan, according to God's plan, and they followed the plan all the way out, then they went and battled, and of course it was a victory. Why? Because God said, I'll fight your battles for you. That's what God wants to do today for us. He wants to fight our battles for us. But it means that we need to rely on him. And so we learn these things. We learn also to watch out for deception. And we saw that in chapter 9 with the folks, the Gibeonites or whatever, that came up and told them that we're from a far country and they were about 25 miles away. And they fooled them and they made a pact with them. And of course, Joshua honored that because one of his princes, he made a vow to God that they wouldn't hurt them when they found out. So they became their slaves. And so even through that, God still honored that. So when I think about how God works and how he works in the Israel's life, he does the same thing in ours. We come to chapter 10 and we can see that as we, you and I, are living the life, are surrendered to God, people are going to hear about these things. People are going to find out about these things. That's part of the testimony. And we saw that too, that God wants us to have a testimony. Remember, he told him to leave 12 stones in the middle of the River Jordan and 12 stones there at Gilgal. He wants that to be a testimony of to the children of Israel and others that God's promises are real. He wants us to do the same thing. And that is, when God works in our lives, that's our testimony of how God has done it, not we ourselves. And it makes a difference. But because of the promises that were made. Let's begin reading verse 1, chapter 10. It says, "Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard of how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so had he done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoam, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japha, king of Lachish, and unto Debar, king of Elgon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." So here we see that the news had traveled to these other kings, and they heard about this pact, and they were nervous about the whole thing because they knew the city of Gibeon was a great city. And they were afraid of the city itself. Maybe that city and the people in it were greater than any other city alone. So they made a pact, and five kings came together. And they were going to come up against this, and they were going to go destroy them. And of course, the city is located about 25 miles from Gilgal. Gilgal is right across the river of Jordan before they went to Jericho. And so Joshua is still set up in Gilgal. He's still out of Gilgal, okay? And so what they did was they sent the delegation there and said, "Hey, we got some folks that are coming after us. And they want to destroy us." Look at the verse 4. And says, he said, "Come on up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel." I think I already read that. "Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Elgon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before before Gibeon, and made war against it." So you can imagine the picture. Here they are, all these five kings and their men are up against Gibeon. And so there, Gibeon knows this is going to be a big deal. And verse 6 says, "And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." And so here we see that this city, are these folks in Gibeon, now they feel that Israel's responsible for them. They made a pact with them, and they made them their slaves, and now they feel like, well, now we're your buddies, now we're in cahoots together, we're your allies, you need to come help us, we're in trouble here. And so they sent for Joshua, and it's interesting, this cry of help that goes out, because we understand that, you know, when you and I have a situation as children of God, what do we turn to? Who do we turn to? How do we respond? Do we respond to the doctor? Do we respond to our neighbors or get help from our neighbors? Who do we go to first? And I can't stress the importance of this, because so many times we as Christians, before ever even consulting God on an issue, we're going somewhere else. And God has the perfect plan. He knows the answer before you even really get in that situation. And, you know, when you think about Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves. And really, that's an illustration for us when we are in the situation that there's something going on. Yes, there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with seeking a neighbor's help. There's nothing wrong with that. But may I suggest that you spend a few moments and ask God for his direction? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do in this situation? What direction should I take? And then, accordingly, follow through. Now, if he can lay something on your heart, maybe it is to go to your neighbor. He's got the plow or whatever it is you need, and he's there for you. But when you seek God and you're in tune with God or have the communication lines open, he is going to give you peace on what you do. And that's what he will do. So here these folks are calling for help. And we too can do the same. In Hebrews 4:16, it tells us, "Let us therefore come come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so that's not just words in the Bible. That's what God's word tells us. If there's a time of need, that's a good time to petition God. Now, we ought to petition in all times, but definitely when there's a need. Definitely when we're needing help. Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Again, the purpose of relying on God is having that testimony that God delivers. God takes care of us. God is the one who's there to help us through these things. Psalm 86:7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And that's what we want. We want God in our lives. And so they said, please come quickly, save us, help us, we need you. And so verse 7, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Now I want you to look at verse 8. In verse 8 it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Again, the principle. Joshua is in communication with God. Now Joshua could go do this on his own, and he can also make a mistake. If this was not God's will, then he shouldn't do this. Just like the first time they fought the Battle of Ai. So here he's talking to the Lord. And ever since Ai and before Ai, Joshua was communing with God. The only time we find that he didn't commune with God was right before the Battle of Ai. And ever since then, you see in the passages, whatever chapter 8, 9, the Lord spake unto Joshua, or Joshua spake unto the Lord. They're talking. And that's so important to remember that. So here he says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of thee stand before thee. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? To know that you can go to battle, and you're not the one who has to worry about the victory. You don't have to even plan the strategy. You just got to show up. When they went to Jericho, what plan did Joshua have? I don't know anyone in the Bible told us what Joshua planned. It was God's plan. When they fought Ai, what was Joshua's plan the second time? God told him exactly how to do it, to set the ambush and to do it. Again, if we follow God's plan, we'll be in the right place every single time. So here he's assembling men, he's heading for Gibeon, and then we see how God intervenes through this whole thing. It says in verse 9, it says, and Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekiah unto Makeda, and it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Ezekiah, and they died. Now, isn't that amazing? Who cast down the stones? That's right. Now, that's the way I want my battles fought. I want to be in that army. I want to be with the leader on that army, and that's God. And that's where we want to be. So the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. And so then it goes on and says, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So the children of Israel didn't do as much. They pretty much just run them off, and God took care of them, basically. Verse 12 says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now there's another miracle. God took care of it. Now today, humanly speaking, we would know if we saw that happen, we go, wow, are you serious? Now, some people want to wish that away and come up with some kind of scientific way that happened. I believe God did it. And I believe he could do it today. And so here it says, And so as the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies, is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. That's a long day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Put your name in there. For the Lord fought for Bruce. For the Lord fought for Nathan or John or Greg or Kirk. He will do that. He will do that for us. But we have to be willing to believe what he says and act upon it. Verse 15, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda, excuse me. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set the men by it for to keep it. We're going to hold them in here for a little bit. Make them think about what's going to happen. It says, and they, verse 19, and stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. So there they are imprisoned, and they're going to go ahead and wipe up the rest of the enemy. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. So they were going in prisons apparently. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, and the king of Jerusalem and the king of Hebron and the king of Jarmuth and the king of Lachish and the king of Eldon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel. Hey, come over here, guys. I want you to show you these kings. These are the kings that a lot of people are afraid of. These were the five kings that the Gibeonites were afraid of. I want you to come over here and look at these guys. And then look what he tells them to do. And it says, he said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. In other words, you are standing over the kings that have threatened others before. These are kings that you have your feet on their necks. And what he's trying to explain and help them to see is that there's nobody greater than God. Nobody. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. We've heard that a lot, haven't we, in this passage, in this book. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Can you imagine the encouragement you would have as you were going through the land of Canaan and you saw God give you victory after victory after victory? And you also saw how it happened. See, that's what's so relevant about the book, is that it wasn't that God said, go take the land. They just went over there and did it all. But it gives us the details of even when they failed. That's important, because he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach the children of Israel something, that how important it is to follow his word and to believe what he says, not just to come up with somebody's idea about what it says or compromise in some area. If there's compromise here, it's not going to work. Achan demonstrated that. God's not in for compromise. He wants us to be obedient. And verse 26 is, afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. If you and I will just understand how important it is to try to live by faith in every area. You know, we, like this sign says here, that you may approve things that are excellent. Now, that doesn't mean that today you're proving everything that's excellent. It means that you're striving in that direction. Because there's a growth. None of us have been perfected yet. But that's the direction God wants us to go in. And He doesn't want us just to slough it off. When you hear and learn a Bible principle, He wants you to think about that. And when you think about it, seriously, He wants you to say, that's what the Word of God says. And we ought to struggle with that. Then what should I do? I should act upon it in whatever area He tries to teach us. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Sometimes we get it in our heads, because we do this as rote sometimes, is that we're just to come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, special meetings and those type of things, without realizing the purpose of coming to church is to grow and to take upon the ministry ourselves. This is not Pastor Townsend's community. It's our community that we live here, and it's our responsibility. And to do that just requires that we trust God, have faith in Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Joshua and his willingness to submit to You and trust You. And we pray that You would help each one of us. Yeah, there are times we're deceived. There are times we don't do the right thing. But we can realize that Your Word accommodates that as well. Because You love us, You give us the opportunity to always come back to You in right terms. And Father, I pray that we would always seek Your face and always have a desire to be close to You. We thank You now. We pray You just continue to bless each one here. I thank You for each one's faithfulness. I pray for those who could not be here tonight. I pray that again You bless them and strengthen them as well. We thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.